So we started Daf Tesam and Aleph, where the Gemara has this topic that's discussed in Maseches Avodah Zarah and Maseches Nida as well. This whole sugi, the whole Amud Gemara, whole two almost an Amud and a half, appears in three different places. The topic is called Ein Safik Moitzim Devadai. Just to review again, what it means is like this. Usually the rule is Ruba V'chazoka Ruba Odif. So the Gemara said that's only if you have a roi bari. That's how Tesis explained. Roi bari means 85% roi. But if you have a roi garua, you have a roi, it's only 51% or 65%. A roi garua, so true, a roi garua is still a roi, but you won't say ruba b'chazaka, ruba adif, because chazaka is a din hanhoge. Roi is a birur, but only if it's a roi bari, if it's a gizunta roi, a healthy roi. Bari, base, resh, yud means a tainas shem and a tainas bari. So tainas bari means tainas vadai. But over here, bari means a healthy roiv, a gezunta roiv, base, resh, yud, aleph. If it's a sturdy roiv, like 85% or something like that, then we say ruba v'chazok, ruba adif, because chazok is only a din hanoga, and roiv is a bira. But if it's a roiv garua, then the roiv is only a din hanhoga, and a chazaka is a din hanhoga, so it's a sofik ashokel. So that's the klal that the Gemara has. So the Gemara asks Akasha from a brisa. What does the brisa tell the whole story? Maisa, let's see, the Gemara quotes a Tosefta, that Maisa v'yolda, the second line from the bottom is a Tosefta Noholis. A Mesa is Metami Ba'ohel. So Maisa Bishivchasa shall Metzik Echad Berimon. That's a question what the word Metzik means. So Rashi says he was a tough Inish Alma. Odom Alom means a gangster. He was a gangster. Tosis thinks that Mesik, Tosis in a few Mesichtas says that Mesik means he was a Mosik Zasim. That's what he did for a living. Not like Rashi. It was a meitzik with a tzaddik and a kuf. Masik. He used to harvest olives. He was in the olive business. Okay. And Riman is the name of the city. Shehitila Nefel Lebor. Someone had a miscarriage and they threw the Nefel in a bar. Who threw the Nefel? The Shivcha. Threw the Nefel into the bar. Question is, who gave birth to the Shivcha is the one who threw it into the bar. Was it her Nefel? Was it her Nefel? And the Gemara says, a Kohen went to look. Rashi says, a Kohen was a learned person. Rashi learns he was a learned person. And he went to see whether it was a Zohar or an Akeva. If it's a Zohar, then she has a Imei Tuma. It says in the beginning of Parshas Tazria. In Yolda Zohar, so she has Yimei Tumah for 7 days. She can go to Mikveh after 7 days. And Yimei Tohar, even if she has Dam in the next 33 days, it's not Metameh her. If it's an Ikeva, then Yimei Tumah are 14 days. Even if there's no Dam at all, even if theoretically it's a Lady Yveshta, it's never going to be a Lady Yveshta when the fetus rips its way out of the Kishkis inside the woman. So it rips out a lot of Dam. A whole bucket full of Dam comes out. But even if theoretically it'll be a lady yaveshta, so the woman if it's in a cave, she'll be tamei for 14 days, and it'll be dam tohar will be the next 66 days. So how does it continue? V'bo kain hits its bow. He leaned over the boar to see whether it's a zohar or in a cave to be able to paskin. That's how Rashi learns to be able to paskin what the din is. Hits it bebar. And he didn't see anything. He wanted to look at the nefel, at the vlad, to see what is the zachar nekeva, to know how to paskin, what is your meitume, meitar of a baby boy, baby girl. If you don't know, let's say a woman has a miscarriage. If she has a miscarriage before mem yom, so then there's no tzuras avlad. The tzuras avlad is around the 44th day, something like that. So then it's dam hanida. The dam will be, if there'll be dam, there certainly will be dam. There'll be dam hanida. but it won't have a din of a mace. If the pregnancy had, if it's 44 days plus the tzuris, so before 43 days, it's not going to be tzuris avlad. If the pregnancy was less than 40 days, nothing to discuss. Not going to be a tzuris avlad. It won't have a tumas mace. If it's after 44 days, then it'll have a tumas mace. Because if it has a tzuris avlad, so the kohen leaned over the bor to see whether it's a zohar or a cave, and he didn't see anything. So the shaila was, does he become tamei or not? V'ti haruhu, and the rabban and paskin, the kohen is tohem ipnei, even though there was nothing there, they should chulda bardlis mitzuyim sham. So the gemara, and therefore what? Chulda bardlis mitzuyim sham. So the way we have the girsa and the gemara, about 15 lines down, the gemara has in parentheses, lishnachrina, the Gemara has two lines in parentheses. The two lines in parentheses is exactly the same as the three lines before that. Vadi garu b'hishayta nidishur mishara migra niha vadai garum b'hishayta. So the lishnachrina is the same. Both girsas, whether the first girsa or the second girsa in parentheses, really boils down to the same. That the Gemara says there's a ruba de leisa kamon. First, the Gemara thought it's a roiv garua. They didn't think that it's such a gevaldig roiv. It's not above 85%, such a roiv bari. They thought it's a roiv garua. So we know for sure that the shivcha hitila nefal bar, she threw the stillborn baby into the bar. We know that there used to be tumas mace here. And now when the kohen leaned over, he didn't see anything. So the question is, how come he didn't see? So the Gemara says, the Tosefta in Ahola says, we admit, even though the bor is becheskas, there's a chazaka, we know for sure, that there was an eifel in the bor, we assume it was a badai eifel. There was more than a 45-day pregnancy. It was a couple of weeks more than that. It was a couple of months of a pregnancy, even though there was becheskas tuma, but ruba v'chazaka, ruba adah, so we have a roif, that the rive is that they pulled it out. So the way we have the gears and the gemara, the rive only is that they're not going to leave the nafel in the bor. They'll dig a hole, they'll dig a chur in the side of the bor, and they'll pull in the nafel into that chur. So therefore, we say ruba b'chazaka ruba. If even though the bor is b'cheskas tumas ohel, there was a mate. We know that there was an eifel there, but since the roiv is that if you leave it there for a while, chulda or bardless will certainly schlep it and push it into the chur shalohem. So therefore, there's no tumas mace. So the Gemara says it's not such a gevaldiger roiv of 85%. It's a roiv of 55%, 65%. It's a roiv garua. So why shouldn't I say Ruba v'chazaka should be shkulim and it should be tomei? That's the Gemara's kasha. So to this, the Gemara answers, maybe the answer is, so the Gemara poses the question on the third line from the top of Tesam and Beis, v'ha'ha'cha anisto sefta, the v'adehi tila nefo. We know for sure that 5 hours ago there was a mace in the bar. Someone had a nefo. And it's only have a raiv garua that the cholder bardless pulled it into a chur. A few hours later, when the kohen leaned over the board to see, don't you see that even ruba v'chazok ruba adif, even if it's a raiv garua, he still say ruba adif. Otherwise, if you are right that ruba v'chazaka shkulim, if it's a rov garua, so it should be a sofik tuma. So before we get to analyze the whole story in the Gemara, so Tosfos has a few discussions here. So first, they have a discussion on the bottom Tosfos on Amud Aleph. They raise a question: the Torah has a din that a Jewish woman does a tumas yoledes. There's a zav and a zav and nidi yoledes, one who touches a mace, one who touches a dead sheretz. A lot of different tumas. So another tuma is a tumas yoledes. A woman who gives birth to a baby has tumas yoledes. This then only applies if it's a Jewish woman. A non-Jewish woman, let's say a non-Jewish woman gives birth to a baby and then she converts. So at the time she gave birth to the baby, she was not Jewish. And then when she converts, she's tahor. there's only a Tumas Yaled that says she was Jewish at the time that she gave birth to the baby. So Tosis raises the question, does the din of Tumas Yaled apply if the woman who gives birth is a Shivcha Knainis? Because Tosis assumes the Pasha Pshat, Ma'ase b'shivchasu shal meitzigecha b'riman, shitila nefa labor, she's the one who had the baby. It's not necessarily the correct pshat. Maybe she was a shivcha to a Jewish family, and the balabasta in the family lost the baby, and the shivcha threw the baby into the bar. It's not so clear. That's what Tosis is not so sure. But they think the simple pshat is that the shivcha gave birth to this nefel. She had the stillborn child. So it would appear, the pasha pshat, it would appear that there's a tumas yoledes by a shivcha. Why is that considered a chiddush? So apparently the Tosfos seems to assume that a Eved Knaini and a Shivcha Knaini don't have a full Kedushas Yisrael. Chaim Soloveitchik in his Sefer on the Rambam, Menuchas, Yisuri Bia points out that there is a Machloikas, the Rambam, and the Nemukah Yosef. Whenever you have an Eved Knaini, Shenishtachrer, and now he becomes Chayv HaMitzvahs, all the mitzvahs, Kozman, he was an Eved Knaini, he was only Chayv HaMitzvahs Ki'isha, so he was exempt from all the mitzvahs, I say, Shehazman Groma. But after the Adon is Meshachar him, he gives him a Shtar Shichur, then he becomes Chayv and all the rest of the mitzvahs. Does he? So the Gemara says he needs a Tefillah Shnia. When he became an Eved Knaini in the first place, he needed Tefillah L'Shem Geiris, because he wasn't Jewish at all. So he needed a Tefillah to become Jewish. Does he need a tefillah shniyah min haTorah, or is it only mid the Rabbanim? So the Rambam is beferish that the tefillah shniyah is min haTorah, and the Rambam has an expression, and Eved Knaini and Shivcha Knainis have a partial Kedushas Yisrael, but they don't have a full Kedushas Yisrael. So after they become nishtachrer, then you need a tefillah shniyah min haTorah. That's the tefillah l'shem geiris, to become a complete Jew. So according to the Rambam, there's what to discuss, whether the Shivcha Knainis, who gives birth to a baby, since she doesn't have a full Kedushas Yisrael, does she have this tumor or not? But according to the Bali HaTosfos, the Nemukah Yosef and Yevam, Rab Chaim in his Sefer on the Rambam, Hilchos Yisurbiya quotes in the Nemukah Yosef and Yevamos, who quotes in the name of the Bali HaTosfos, that an Eved Knaini and a Shivcha Knaini, when they become Nishtachrer, they only need the Tefillah Shniyah Midirabbanan. Means that Min HaTorah and Eved Knaini, when they did the Tefillah Rishayna, when they became an Eved Knaini, when they became a Shivcha Knainis, there was a full Kedushas Yisrael. They just had a Ptur from certain mitzvahs. Same as an Isha has a Jewish woman who was born Jewish, has a full Kedushas Yisrael, but she has an exemption from the mitzvah, says the Shazman Grom. So the same, apparently, the Bali HaTosfos think that's within the Nemukah Yosef codes. They apparently think that an Eved Knaini and a Shivcha Knainis have a full Kedushas Yisrael, just have an exemption from certain mitzvahs. So the exemption is only called Zman that they have the status of the Eved Knaini Shivcha Knainis. Once the Adon is Meshachar them, so automatically they don't have the exemption. So the Mechuyev and all the rest of the mitzvahs, they don't have to be Mashlim, the Kedushas Yisrael, by being Megayir all over again, Min HaTorah. It's only a Chumrah Midirabbanan that you need a Tefillah Shniyah. So that's the whole topic that the Tosfos raises here, whether Shivcha Knainis gives birth to a Vlad, whether there's a Tumas Yoledes, is only what to discuss if you hold like the Rambam, that the Kedushas Yisrael that the Shivcha Knainis has is incomplete. But if you hold like the Nemukah Yosef quotes in the name of the Bali HaTosfos, that the whole Tefillah Shniyah of the Shivcha Shenishtachra or the Yevet Shenishtachra is only Midirabbana, means that Eved Knaini has a full Kedushas Yisrael. So then, of course, the Shivcha Knainis has a Tumas Yoledes. Yeah. There's such a similar wild idea. There's a Tosfos in Nazir, Masechas Nazir, on the first Omid base in Perek Hakusim. At the end of the Masech de Nazir, there's a Perek that starts off Hakusim, Ein Lehem Naziris. The din of Naziris only applies if a Jewish person is Mekabel Naziris. If a non-Jew, the Mishnah uses the Loshen Kusim, the Min Goyim, that by non-Jews, even though the non-Jew could be Magdush Karbanis, you learn out from a pasuk Ishish Lerabasis Anochrim Shenodrim and the Dorim and the Dovas Ki Yisrael. They can be Magdush Karbanis and you makriv it on the Mizbeach. But the question is, can they be Mekabel Ned and Naziris or not? When you're Mekabel Ned and Naziris, it says Kodesh Yeh Gadol Peres Arosh. So just like the Nochrim have the opportunity to be Magdish Karbonis, Bobed Edim and Adove, So maybe he has the ability to create Kedusha on himself, Kodesh Yir, Gadol Peres HaRosha. That pasuk that you learn out, Ishish Nerabbe says, Akum, Shenojman, Adorbin, Dorbiski Yisrael, you should really learn out from that pasuk that Anochri has the ability to be Mafrish Truma, and that he has the ability to be Magdish himself as a Nazir. So Truma is a Machlokes HaTanaim in the beginning of the second parak in Kiddushin. Does Anochri have the opportunity? If you hold he does not have the opportunity to be Mafrish Truma, is based on Exeris HaKosov. The Sfara should have been that he does have based on Ishish. So over here also it should have been. So the Gemara has no. Anochri Hakusim Ein Lahem Naziris. Why? Because the Parsha says if the Nazir becomes Tameh, Ayamim Harishanim Yitlu, he has to go to the mikveh and has to start counting all over again. So since the Nochrim are not Mekabel Tumah, we learn out from another Pasuk that a Nochri can't be Mekabel Tumah. So therefore the whole Parsha of Naziris doesn't apply to him. So Tosfos has a chiddush, a wild chiddush over there. Tosfos says that an Ebek Naini is not Mekabel Tumah. If he attends a funeral, he's not Mekabel Tumah. Rabbi Kebege writes on the side of the page, he never heard of such a wild idea. What do you mean Ebek Naini is not Mekabel Tumah? He's Jewish. So apparently Tosfos thinks that that Tosfos and Nazir is of the opinion Ebek Naini doesn't have a full Kedushas Yisrael. So just like a Nochri is not Mekabel Tumah, so Ebek Naini only has a partial Kedusha Sisal, he doesn't have enough Kedusha Sisal to be Mekabel Tumah. That's a Chiddush. So this thesis also raises the issue. What is the issue to discuss? If you say an Ebek Naini, a Shivcha Knaini has a full Kedusha Sisal, of course there'll be a Tumas Yoled. So Tais apparently thinks Ebek Naini and the Shivcha Knaini do not have a full Kedusha Sisal. Okay. So that's a question. When it says Ma'isa b'shivchasa shal meitzikecha b'riman, she tila nefel l'boi, was it her nefel? And the kohen went to see whether it's a zohar nekeva, how long she'll be tamei for 7 days or 14 days. So if it's her nefel, so you're assuming that she has a tumas yoledes. But it may be that is the nefel of the gevirta, of the balabasta, and she's just the one who threw it into the bar. Okay. Then Tosis has the second half of the Tosis, the last four lines. Tosis raises the question, did the kohen do right or wrong? The kohen leaned over to see whether it's a zohar or an ekeva. So Rashi, what does Rashi say? Rashi writes, why did the kohen have the right if he thinks that there may be a nafel in a bar? So the kohen shouldn't be mitami to the mace. So Rashi writes on the top of the mace, the kohen was a karev. He was related. How can it be related if the one who delivered the baby, one who had the baby, was a shivcha knainis? How can a kohen be related to a shivcha knainis, a blood relative? It's impossible. Unless you assume that the nafel was not the nafel of the shivcha. The nafel was the nafel of gevirta. The shivcha just threw it into the bar. Okay. So Rashi writes also, he violated, Rashi says, he violated the din that a kohen is not allowed to mimic tamei lemeis. Other Rishonim write not that he violated the din. Others, Rashi and the other Masechtas, the same Gemara appears in Nida, in an Avodah Zarah. So Rashi and the other Gemara says, no, the kohen was a learned person. And he knew what he was doing. He was related, and a kohen is allowed to be metameh to one of the Zion Kroivim. Maybe it was his brother. Okay. So that's what Tosfos is not happy with that pshat. Either the last two lines in Tosfos, the two reasons. So first of all, they say the first reason is a quote from the Sifra that the only time the kohen is metameh lemesim is if the person was alive once and then he died. But if it's a nafel, he was never alive. He was born dead. So just like there's no avela, so to the kohen is not mitamei lemeis. In fact, the second answer that Tosfos gives is v'od dekan lahoy letzarach hameis. Tosfos says the only time the kohen is permitted to be mitamei lemeisim if he's misasik, if he's metapel in the kvura. Stam, if they're not going to be metapel in the kvura, the kohen is not allowed to. The kohen is not allowed to be metamei lemeis. If you look in the back of all the Gemaras, you have the Horus of Rabbi Shlomo Eger, the son of Rabbi Kiv Eger. So he points out that the Rambam writes explicitly not so. The Rambam writes that the Kohen is metame lemeis to the Zayin Karovim even shelo letzorach kvura. But then Reb Shlomo Eged Samachlekes Tosfos and the Rambam, and then he refers you to the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Ayin Gimel, where the Rambam quotes the Tosfos that the Kohen is only allowed to be metame lemeis on a weekday when he's mesasek in the kvura, but on Shabbos we never do kvuras ameis on Shabbos even on Yedei Amimim. If someone dies on the first Yontav, you bury Alidei Amim. If someone dies on the second Yontav, you bury even Alidei Yisrael. But someone dies on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, you don't do a Kfuras HaMeis at all. Not on Shabbos and not on Yom Kippur. And that's the reason the Gemara says, the Gemara has two different reasons. You don't know when you're making the calendar, so you should always be careful never to allow Yom Kippur to fall out on a Friday or a Sunday, because if we don't allow Kfuras HaMeis, in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have a freezer. So if you're going to leave a mace for 48 hours, 2 days in a row, without any kfura, the body is going to smell, it's going to decompose, it's going to be a big bizoy in a mace. So if someone dies, a Jewish person dies on Yom Tov Rishon, he can bury Ayidei Amim, Ayidei Nochem. If someone dies Yom Tov Sheni, he can even bury Ayidei Yisrael. But on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, we don't bury at all. So if you're going to have Shabbos next day, Yom Kippur, it's going to be a disaster 2 days in a row that you're not going to bury. So that's why they would always be careful never to allow lo adu rosh. You don't want Rosh Hashanah to fall out on such a day of the week that Yom Kippur should either fall out on a Friday or on a Sunday. So the Ramor writes in Shulchan Aruch that the Kohen is only metame to the Zayin Karovim if it's a weekday and he's metapel in the kvur. He's doing something for the purpose of the kvur. But if he's not being metapel in the kvur Shabbos, you don't do a kvur at all. So then it's also to be metamil ameis. That's really a machlokes tesis in the Rambam. And the Rambam is machma like the tesis. It should only be muta to be metamil ameis if it's a tzorach ha-kfura. It's interesting, we mentioned last week that the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Yontif, there are dinim of Yontif Rishon, kvura b'yontif Rishon, and dinim kvura b'yontif Sheni. They have all the dinim. So the Magen Avraham has a discussion there. Is there a chi of kvura on a nefel? A nefel, if the pregnancy was more than 40 days, 44 days or so, and it has a tzuras of lad, it's a tiny little piece of the flesh, an inch by an inch, very tiny, and it already has a tzuras of lad, has the shape of a human being on it already. So it has the tumas meis, but the question is, it's not necessarily so that anything and everything that has a tumas meis has a mitzvah of kvura. So maybe there's no mitzvah kura on a nefel. So the Magen Avraham quotes a machlokes achrayim about that. Is there a chi of kvura on a nefel? If there's a chi of kvura, so then the Shulchan Aruch says, then the Magen Avraham says, then you're allowed to bury on Yontav Rishon al yedei Amimim and Yontav Sheni al yedei Yisrael. If there's no mitzvah of kvura, so you have to dispose of it, but it's metame, it has a tumas mei, so you have to dispose of it in order to protect the Kohanim from becoming Tomei. That's Mishum Chashash Takola. Like you don't leave treif of food around the house, Mishum Chashash Takola. Somebody may eat it by mistake, so you shouldn't leave a Tumas Meis around the house, lest anyone will become Tomei without even realizing it. So you certainly have to dispose of it somehow, but you don't need a Kvura B'Kevi Yisrael. Let's say if you hold that in Eifel, there's no mitzvah Kvura. Let's say the woman had a stillborn child, and the doctors had to take it out of her. So you let the hospital dispose of it. Either they'll burn it or they'll bury it in a general burial plot. You don't need a kvura b'kevi Yisrael. You don't have to spend money for it. So you mentioned that the Magen Avraham has a machlokes, and the minig, the achrayim say the minig is, if the woman is already into the fifth month of the pregnancy, she already began to feel movement on the vlad inside her rechem, so then the minigun said, you do kvura b'kevi Yisrael. And if it's before she felt moving, the minigun said, you don't bother to do kvura b'kevi Yisrael. Let the Goyisha hospital take care of it, and they'll dispose of it somehow. So in other words, mikared din, you don't need kvura. Mikared din, you don't need kvura. And then if mikared din, you don't need kvura, then you're not allowed to do the kvura, not al yantav rishon, al day amimim, not al yantav sheni, al day Yisrael. So the Magen Avraham quotes this machlekes achrayim, and he quotes that there is a Gemara in Nida where the Gemara says the kusim had their own, of course, and didn't follow Torah Shebal Peh, but they had their own, they made their own drushas of Torah Shebal Peh. They made up their own drushas. So they made up a whole drusha that a Nefel doesn't have a mitzvah of Kvurim. So usually we assume whatever the Kusim say is incorrect. They made up their own Torah Shebal Peh. So that's the Magen Avraham quotes, that's Machlekes over here. Maybe once in a long while the Kusim are right. So maybe over here the drusha that they darshan, that a Nefel is metameh if it's more than mem yom and had its source of lad. And Nefel is metameh, yeah, but they darshan that there's no chiyuv kvura. So maybe their drasha is correct. So mikra adin, we really paskin like that. Mikra adin, we paskin, and Nefel doesn't need kvura unless the minig is, unless she already began to feel movement. That can't be on a level of deraisa. If she doesn't feel movement, there's no chiyuv kvura. If she does feel movement, then there is a chiyuv kvura. That distinction is only lefi a minig. But Mikra Adin, we hold that an Eifel never leads, never requires a Kvura. So the, and according to the way the Ramo is Machmer, like the bottom line of Tosfos, Dikan Lahoy Letzorach Hameis, the mitzvah, the din, Loyit, there's a Machlokes Hatanoim, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara has incited Dav Gimel Amad Aleph, there are three psukim, and there's a Machlokes Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. How to read the pasuk? Is it a reshus or is it a chayva? So one of the psukim is lo yitamo. It says if the kohen lost his sister, he's permitted to be metame to attend the funeral. He's permitted. So Rabbi Shmuel says it's a reshus. If he wants to, he may attend the funeral. If he doesn't want, he doesn't have to. And we pass like Rabbi Akiva. This was machlekes before Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel were born even. This machlekes generation after generation. And we pass like Rabbi Akiva's opinion that lo yitam is a chayva, he's mechayv, even if he doesn't want to be metameh. He wants to remain tohar, he doesn't want to become metameh to mesmeh, so he'll be knocked out of condition for at least 7 days, and he'll need hazor shlishi shvi. So he paskin is mechayv to be metameh lemesim. So the Rambam paskin lo yitam a chayva, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Shmuel, and the Rambam writes, kama chamurihi mitzvah sadeh lehilchis ovil. The Rambam writes, "Kama chamurihi mitzvah sovel shenitches piponeh isa tumas koyanim." The fact that a koyan is permitted to be metamei to the Zion Krovim shows how chama the mitzvah of avelus is. What does it have to do with avelus? So the Rambam understands that the nature of this mitzvah of lo yitama is nihug avelus. That's the mitzvah. The Rambam paskins like the Rif and the Gaonim that from the 7 days of Shiva, avelus yom rishon is their isa. Where is the pasuk in Chumash that you mechuyev to observe avelus? So this is the pasuk lo yitama chayva. This is the mitzvah of kavod abrius to show kavod ames. If you have a chiyev to show kavod ames kal v'chaymer, you have a chiyev to show kavod achayim. That's the gemara in the second parak in Ksubis. That the gemara says if you have a chasen kala with a wedding celebration going on the highway in one direction, and you have a funeral going in another direction, and they bump into a crossroads, and either they go first or they go first. So who has the kedima to go first? So the Gemara says the celebration of the Chasen Kala takes precedence. They go first. Why? So the Shita Mukubetzis explains, this is Kavod Abrius. They're both Kavod Abrius, but one is Kavod Achaim and one is Kavod Amesim. So Kavod Achaim is Odif from Kavod Amesim. Usually we don't act like that. Usually when people are alive, we're not respectful. And after they die, oh, then all of a sudden we show kavod ames and we're very respectful. So the din is fakeret. The pasuk says lo yitama. There's even a din of kavod ames and kavod chaim. More so, there's a chi of kavod chaim. Kavod chaim, kavod ames, and kavod chaim takes precedence. So the Rambam writes that the mitzvah of kvur, the mitzvah of avelus ambition is there. So where is the mocker for avelus ambition? Lo yitama. Lo yitama. So according to Tosfos, that the kohen is only muta letame. The Rambam says the kohen is muta letame meisim mishalo letzorach klal. That's the kavod ames. He shows kama chamurihi mitzvos avelus that he's even metame. He's mechala kedushas kohuna to show kavod ames. So Tosfos says the only time it's muta to be mechala kedushas kohuna is if you're being metapel in the kvura. So if you hold that a nefel, the way the Magen Avraham, the way we paskan la'alocha, the Magen Avraham quoted a machlokes achrenim, so the way we paskan la'alocha, that there's no mitzvah of kvura on a nefel, so in the mele, there's no, Mele, there's no heter for the Kohanim to be metami, because the whole heter to be metami is only the tzorach kvuras hameis. But if there's no chi of kvura by an eifel, so of course the Kohen has no heter to be metami. So it could be that that's where the Tosfos get that from. Oh, the kam lahoy the tzorach hameis. Where they get that from? It could be they understood that's pshat in the sifra. The sifra says that a Kohen is not allowed to be metami to an eifel. The reason why is because on an eifel there's no chi of kvura. The Magen Avraham quoted a different Mokka, the Gemara Nida, that the Kusim Darshan, the whole Pasuk, that that by Nefel there's no mitzvahs Kvura. It could be that Tosfos has got it from the Sifra that they're quoting. The Torah's Kanim says, you want them bina b'nei kayama, if they were once alive and then they died. But if it's a Nefel, it was born there just like there's no Niu Gavela, so there is Tumas Meis, but there's no Chiv Kvura, there's no mitzvah of Kvura. It could be that Tosfos held that it's totally Zebizah. Since by a Nefil there's no mitzvah skvura, so therefore there's no heter to be metame. Anyway, so these are the side topics that Tosfos raises over here in the story. To understand the story. But then Tosfos on the top of Amud Beis, here the top Tosfos, on the top of Amud Beis, and the Tosfos in the other two related sugyas, the Tosfos in Nida Tezvav, and the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Beis, they raise the question: we have a klal from Mishnayos and Taharis that we usually have a rule: Sofek Daraisa Lechumra and Sfek Sfeka Lekula. What's the din by Tuma? So the klolim of Sofek Daraisa Sfek Sfeka Lekula, Sofek Daraisa Lechumra, don't apply. The klal is, it depends. If it's a sofik tuma b'shus ha-yochid, then sveka tomei and sveka tomei vadai. It means not a sofik. The Achrayim explained. Sveka tomei vadai. And a sofik tuma b'shus ha-rabim is sveka tohor. So the simple reading of the Gemara here sounds like if vadai hitila nefel abor, and the sofik is whether the Chulda Obardalis Mitsuyim Sham. Did the Chulda Bardalis remove it from the boar and pull it into a chur on the side? So the coin was not Mahil on the mace. So if you only have one suffix, was he Mahil on the mace or not? Then you would go Lechumr. You would declare the coin is Tomei. But if it's a Svek Sveka, then you make him. If it's a suffix, whether it was maybe Ruach Hipila, maybe Nefel Hipila. You don't know whether it had a Tzuris of Lad. If you don't know, let's say you know it was approximately 44 days, somehow close to that. You don't know whether it had a tzuris avlad or didn't have a tzuris avlad. So the Gemara says, if it's a suffix ruach hipila, suffix nefil hipila, and then it's a suffix maybe chulda or bardalis mitzuyim sham the goreru, they left it to a different location. So then it sounds from the Gemara, if you have a sveik, then you go lekula. If you have only one suffix, then you go lechumra. So Tosfos asks, how can it be? The Mishnayos and Taharis have the klal that if it's a suffix tuma b'shus ha-yochid, the sveka tomei vadai. Even if it's a svek sveka, called sveka shatiyocha laharbos, it's still going to be tomei vadai. And if it's going to be b'shus ha-rabim, even if it's one suffix, you go lekula. So what's going on over here? So the Olam could have given an answer, but I think the answer is obviously incorrect because all the Bali HaTosfos are working on this kasha. Could have given an answer like this. The Gemara in the end of Cheskes Habatim states, what's the definition? We already raised the issue. What's the definition of Rishus HaRabim for the purposes of this din of Sofik Tum of Rishus HaRabim, Sveka Tohar? So the Gemara says, you need Tezayin Amma. Whatever is the Rishus HaRabim for Shabbos purposes is the Rishus HaRabim for Sofik Tum of purposes. So the Mele, what's a Rishus HaYachid? Whatever is a Rishus HaYachid for Shabbos, Hilchas Shabbos is a Rishus HaYachid for Tumah purposes. But in Hilchas Shabbos, there are three categories. There's a Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, and everything else in the world is a Makom Ptur. Then with the Rabbanan, they divided all the Mekamos Ptur into two areas. They declared some of them were going to consider as a Karmelis and others believe as a Makom Ptur. So whatever is considered a Karmelis, so that's So that's why the Gemara has a brayse in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos Davav, Dalad Rishuyis L'Shabbos, Shusa Yochad Rishuyis Harabim, Amakim Ptur and a Karmelis. So in the Torah, the Gemara says there are only three Rishuyis, Shusa Yochad Rishuyis Harabim, everything else is Makim Ptur. And the Rabbana, they declared some of them becomes Ptur, we're going to be Machmed to treat it like a Karmelis. So you're not allowed to carry from Rishuyis Harachid to the Karmelis, or from Rishuyis Harabim to the Karmelis. It's a third Rishuyis. Makim Ptur is Hetagom. You can do whatever you want, even with the Rabbana. So why not say like this? If you have a Sofik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid, even a Svek Sveike, you go L'chum Rebbe Toras Vaday, if it's a B'Shus HaYochid. If you have a B'Shus HaRabim, whatever is a B'Shus HaRabim, a Svek HaTohar, even if there's only one Sofik. And what if it's neither B'Shus HaYochid nor B'Shus HaRabim? Then if it's a Svek Sveike, you go L'Kula. And if it's Sofik Echad, you go L'chum Rebbe. You treat it like Yisa V'Heta. So Tosfos doesn't give that answer. Tosfos works hard. And the Tosfos Shantz on our Tosfos, and the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz on our Daf, and all the Tosfos and all the three Masechtas, they all work on this Kasha, this Shaila. What kind of a bor is it? What are we talking over here? Is it Rishus HaYochad or Rishus HaRab? Why don't they say it's neither? It's a Mokam Ptur. So it doesn't have Tumah Vaday, it doesn't have Tahara Vaday. It's treated like regular Isa V'Heta. So the Tosfos doesn't give that answer. So obviously that's not correct. Why not? So that's what we mentioned last week, because the Gemara, there is a perik towards the end of Nazir, perik Shnei Nazirim. A man or a woman, Jewish person, says he sees Shnei Nazirim from a distance, says, Reisi Echem Mikem, the two Nazirim, one of you became Tomei Tumas Mace, and you weren't paying attention. Someone touched you with a mace, and you didn't even realize it. So, Edechem Nemi Bisurim, okay, he's believed. But he himself doesn't remember which one of the two. So the Gemara says, you have to go to Chumrah. They both have to have Hazor Shlish Shviya and bring Karbonis. Only one of them became Thomas Meis. So they both have to wait Hazor Shlish Shviya, and they both together have to bring a set of Karbonis Nazir Tomei and say, if Reuben and Shimon are the two Nazir. If Reuben is the one who is Nitma, the set of Karbonis is for Reuben. If Shimon is the one who is Nitma, the set of Karbonis is for Shimon. And then let's say they're both a Nazir for 2 months. So they both became Tomei Meis in the middle of the 2 months. So they both have to have Hazor Shlish Shvim, Yisofik. And then at the end of the 7 days, on the 8th day, they'll bring together the shutfas, this korban naziris tumah, either for Reuben or for Shimon. And then they have to wait the whole 2 months. They were both mekabel naziris for 2 months. After the 2 months are over, then both of them have to bring korbanas nazir tohar. Because the naziris, you go to chumah in both directions. You go to chumah in both directions. So the Gemara asks on that Mishnah, perek shnei nazirim, why? But if you have the two nazirim and the third person, so if you have three people together, so that's already a rishus harabim. Why is that a Rishus HaRabim? Where did we get this idea from? That Safik Tumma Rishus HaRabim Sveika Tomei, Safik Tumma Rishus HaRabim Sveika Tohar, Safik Tumma Rishus HaYochid Sveika Tomei. Where did we get it from? We got it from the Parsha of Soita, that the Soita, the husband was Kinei Lo Vinistra. The husband is Choshed, his wife. Maybe it's totally unsubstantiated, and maybe there is a Raglaim Ledover. We're not sure. Sometimes the husband is just paranoid. A hakta chaynik, he doesn't know what he's talking about. So the husband is choshed, his wife is nus, and he says, "Al tistri mish ploini." Just because she does stira, it doesn't necessarily mean that she violated the din of yichud. Sometimes the stira, we pointed out from the Baal HaTanya, sometimes the stira is not in violation of yichud. Sometimes, let's say Baila Bahir, if the husband is in the same city, his office where he works, the company, the factory where he works, or the business where he works, is in the same city. So most of the Rishonim hold that Baila Bahir, there's no Issa Yichud at all. Rashi holds Baila Bahir, there is an Issa Yichud, but you don't give Makas Mardis. The Gemara says in the end of Kedushin, Malkim ala yichud, ve'noisim ala yichud. You give makas mardis if a person violates yichud. So Rashi holds that even by lebuyer there is an issa yichud, but you don't give makas mardis. But Tosfos says not so. Tosfos says that by lebuyer there's no issa yichud. But if the husband is warning his wife, al tistri mish plaini, then she says, you're crazy, I'm not doing any Aveira. Or let's say the husband is choshed his wife that she's having an affair with her brother or with her father. So there's no issue with your brother or with your father. But if the husband wants about history in your brother, your father, so even though it's mutter, there's no issue by the Bu'ira, there's no issue with her father or her brother, but still there'll be kini astir, she shall become asur la baila. And sometimes it'll be the reverse. Sometimes there will be an issa yichud, and it won't be considered stira. That's what the Baal HaTanya says. It's only called stira if the two people, the wife and the third person, went into the room together. Let's say you have an office where you have 300 people working in the office, a law firm. At the end of the day, everybody leaves at 5:30. Everybody leaves. And then after 298 people leave, it happens that the woman, the Eishes Ish, and the man that the husband is choshed her with, they're the last two ones to leave. So let's say that'll be, if it's not Baila B'yir, the husband works in a different city, it's not Baila B'yir, and it's not her father or her brother, so if they're the last two ones to leave, there will be an Issa Yichud, but that's not called Stira. Stira is on the Baal HaTanya has a Chiddush. Stira is only if they went into the room together. But if the 300 people were in the room and slowly everybody leaves, and after 298 people leave, you're only left with this man and this woman, that's called yichud, but it's not called stira. So again, so the din should have been, the din is, it says in the Chumash, if there's kinui or stira, then the woman is called the saita sofik. If there's only yichud, let's say a woman, a married woman violates yichud, so the Gemara says you don't aser anisha labaila because the wife violated yichud. It's not even called the latest hasafik. Maybe she was zinsa. But if kini lo v'nistara, if there was hasra, the husband is choshed his wife, and he wants her out history in mishplani, because I'm choshed that you're having an affair with him. So if it's kini astir, you have raglaim v'ledover, then the pasuk says v'nitma, then she becomes asura al baila. But if there wasn't a kinui preceding the stira, it was only yichud, it was only stira, you don't ask her based on yichud alone, because she has a cheskas heter. But if it's kine lo v'nistra, first it was preceded with kine, then stira. So then she becomes asura al baila, an iser esei. That's v'nitmo is an iser esei. If you know that a woman is a saita vadai, she vadai was zinso, we ascertain that there are witnesses. Then it's an iser lav. The Gemara says in Yibam is daf yad aleph from the base. Pasuk says, "Luichol ba'larish and hashashilcha lashu v'lukach ta'achar yashehu tamo'o." Pasuk says that the couple is married and the husband divorces his wife because kimotzu erva's dover, dover dover mimam, and you had two adam who ascertained that she was insa. So to dover should be erva to aser and isha lebaila based on isa saita. So if you have kimotzu erva's dover, you ascertain based on two adam that the woman was Mizana, so then the husband has to divorce his wife. Then she marries someone else, and the second husband either dies or divorces her. So the Torah says, the first husband is not allowed to remarry her. So we understand in the pasuk there are two isurim here. There's one isur saita. She's a saita vadai. He says, we had two Adam who ascertained she was Mizana Tachas Bailah the first time he was married to her. So then he's not allowed to marry her a second time because she's a Saita Vade Asura al Bailah. That's a lab. Because she was Mizana. Then also included in the Pasuk is Machsigur Shasai. If I was married to the woman, I divorce her, I'm permitted to remarry her. Unless I'm a Kohen, I'm not allowed to marry Grusha Satsmi. But if I'm not a kohen, I'm allowed to marry. But if I divorce my wife and she married someone else in between, and then the second husband dies or divorces her, even though she's not a soita, so al baila, the husband is not allowed to remarry her. So included in that pasuk are two isurim. L'ichah bal rishon shilcha loshu l'kachto, semicolon, machzik gurusha says aser, semicolon, v'achri ashehu tamo. And you're not allowed to marry a woman who was Mizana, Tachas Baila, even though she was Mizana in the first marriage that he had. And then he's going to remarry her. You know, she didn't marry anybody else in between. That's the lava of Saita. So that's what the Gemara says. If you have a Saita Sofik means that it was just Kinu Yastira. So there's because the stira was it was a stira, not only a yichud, there was a stira, and it was preceded with the kinui. So then there's raglaim ledavar, then there's an iseresei v'nitma. But if it's a vaday zinsa, kimotza ba'ervas davar mimamen, you have two edim that vaday zinsa, then there's a lav. Then there's a loises and a loike, they're both loike. So the Gemara finds it strange that the Chumash uses the verb vinitma, says three times vinitma, vinitma, vinitma. The Gemara says on the first daf in Saita, echel lebal, echel lebal, echel letruma. The Saita becomes asur al baila, becomes asur al boil, and she's a bas kain, she's not allowed, she married to a kain, not allowed to eat truma. So why does the Chumash use the verb of enitma? What does it have to do with Tumah V'Tahara? So the Gemara understands that Pasuk is alluding to the din of Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid. Why is it a B'Shus HaYochid? Because the only two people who are there are the Eshish Ish and the Boil. The husband suspects that she's having an affair with that man. If there would have been three people there, that's not called Stira. Sometimes it will be an Issa Yichud, sometimes it won't. If you have two women and one man, there's an Issa Yichud. If you have two men and one woman, then there's no Issa Yichud. Okay, but it's certainly not called, certainly there's no steer over there. So if you have three people, then she wouldn't become Asur al-Baila. So just like Menigea to Issa Soita al-Baila, if there would have been three people there, another person, another woman or another man, that's not called stira, sometimes not called yichud, sometimes that's not called stira. So too, if you have three people together, even inside a rishus hayachid, even inside a bedroom, if you have three people together, so then it's called the rishus harabim, and we say sofik tum rishus harabim, sveika lahakam. So you have two different definitions of what's rishus harabim. The Gemara in Perek Shnei Nizirim raises a question on the Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah say, the third person says, Risi, Echad mikem shnei nizirim together. He says v'yis echad mikem shenitman tumas meis, but he didn't notice which one of them, whether Reuven or Shimon. So you have to go l'chumrim isofik on both of them. So they both need hazar shlish and shvi, and they both have to bring together. They pay for a carbon nazir tomei, and they say if Reuven is the one who is nitma, Korban nazir tamei, the korbanos on behalf of Reuven. If it was Shimon who was nitma, the korbanos on behalf of Shimon. And then they have to observe the month or two that they're mekabel naziris, and the end of the month they both have to bring korbanos nazir tahar because the malos of the naziris is over. So the fact that the din of soita only applies if there are two people in the room. There would have been three people. There wouldn't be any stira. So the fact that the Chumash uses this strange verb, vinitma, tells me that there's such a difference between three people and two people, vinigeta tuma as well. That if you have three people together in the same room near each other, then it's called Rishus Harabim. If you have two people in one end of the room and the third person at the other end of the room, then it's a Rishus HaYochid. So again, so the two different Gemaras, the Gemara in Perek Shnei Nizirim, says that the definition of Rishus HaRabim is if you have three people together, even if it's inside the Beis HaMikdash, even inside a shul, inside a bedroom. If you have three people together, it's Rishus HaRabim. Then the Gemara in the end of Cheskes HaBatim says, whatever the definition for Rishus HaRabim is, for Hilcha Shabbos, Tezayin Amah, and so on, is the same definition for Rishus HaRabim and for Tumah. So the two different definitions, so which is it? So Mestami, you have to say like this, if it's either Safik Tumah B'Shus HaRabim based on definition A or based on definition B, either one or the other, then it's Vaday Tohar, even if it's only one Safik. And anything that's not like that is going to be Tomei. So it doesn't matter the fact that in Hilchos Shabbos, there are three, on a level of a Minatar, there are three Rishuyas, there's Rishus HaYochid, and Rishus HaRabim, and everything else is a Makam Tur. It's not a Din Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid Sveika Tomei. It's a din sofik tumah b'shus harabim, either b'shus harabim A or b'shus harabim B, either because it's a b'shus harabim for Shabbos purposes, or even it's a b'shus hayochid for Shabbos purposes, but it's three people near each other. So if it's either b'shus harabim A or B, then it's feka tohar, even if it's only one Safek. And anything other than that is going to be Sveika Tomei. That's what it seems like. So that's what Tosis wants to know. What's the story over here? But this, the Kohen who leaned over the board to see whether the Nefel was a Zachar or an Akeva, what is the status of the Bor? Is the Bor a Rishus HaYochad or is the Bor a Rishus HaRabim? If it's a Rishus HaRabim, so what do you need a Svek Sveka for? Even if there's one Sofik, it's Tohar. You don't need a Rav, you don't need a Svek Sveka. Even if you have one Sofik, it's Sofik Tom Rishus HaRabim, Sveka Tohar. And if it's a Rishus HaYochad, even if it is a Svek Sveka, the Gemara sounds like if it's Vada Hitila Nefel Abor, if there's a Vada Nefel, and you have Ruba Bachazoke, so then you would not be Mekel, because Ruba Bachazoke Hashkulim, and it's a Safik Tumah, so you would go to Chumrah. But if it's a Safik Nefel, Safik Ruachi Pila, and it's a Safik Shemegir Aruhu, Chulda Ubardalis, so then if you have a Sfek Sfeker, then you Mekel. So that's what Tosis asks, where do you find in Tumah that it depends? Tumas Meis, where do you find that it depends whether it's a Safik Ech or a Svek Sveike? It should depend, is it a Rishus HaRabim? So even one Safik is Lekula. And if it's not a Rishus HaRabim, even it's a Makam Tur, anything other than a Rishus HaRabim, two different definitions of Rishus HaRabim, anything other than that is treated like Safik Tum and Rishus HaYochid, that it should be Sveika Lechumra. That's Tosis' question. What's going on over here? So what's Take? What do you mean? What's the status of the Bor? What is Take, the status of a Bor? Let's say you have a Bor in the middle of a street on Shabbos. The whole street, let's say, is Tezayin Amah. Why? Then it's a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. What's the status of the Bor in the middle of Rishus HaRabim? So if the Bor is 10 Tfachim deep, and the floor of the Bor has a minimum of Dalet Tfachim al Dalet Tfachim, if you dig a ditch that's so narrow, it's only 3 tvachim, 3.5 tvachim by 3.5 tvachim. 3 tvachim, less than 3 tvachim, you say lovid. More than 3 tvachim, you don't say lovid. But that's not called the Shir Makam. In order to be called the Rishus HaYochid, has to have a Shir Makam. Shir Makam has to be at least dalat tvachim al dalat tvachim. For mezuzah, you have to have dalat amas al dalat amas, not the same as dalat tvachim al dalat tvachim. Mezuzah is, you need adir askeva. So the Gemara says the first daf in Sukkah, daf gimel. In order to be chayv and mezuzah, you need diras keva. And a diras keva, in order to be able to live there like a normal human being, you need dalat tvachim, dalat amas, a dalat amas. But in order to be called the Rishus HaYochid for Shabbos purposes, excuse me for a minute, someone's ringing my bell. I don't know who it is. Okay. So the Tosis and the other Masechtos points out, if you have a bor b'shus harabim, a bor is usually more than 10 tfachim deep, and bor, you, normal bor has dalet al dalet tfachim. So if it's 10 tfachim deep and it's dalet al dalet tfachim, then it's going to be a rishus hayochid. It's not going to be a rishus harabim. Unless it's going to be less than 10 tefachim deep. So just like the street, the ground level of the street is Rishus HaRabim, so this is not considered a separate ground level. If it's less than 10 tefachim deep, then it's also going to be a Rishus HaRabim. But that's what Tosis wants to know. What's going on over here? The Gemara presented it as if when you will have one Safek, you will go to Chumrah. If you hold Ruba v'chazoka, Ashkulim, a roiv, the Gemara thought that Chuldol Bardalis Mitzuyim Sham is a roiv garua. That's how the Gemara thought. It's a roiv garua. So if it's a Vadai Nefel that fell in, that was thrown into the bar, Hitilu Labor, and Ruba, a roiv garua, Ruba Vachazaka Ashkulim, ain't Safik Baitzim De Vadai, then the Gemara thought that you go to Chumra. So why should you go to Chumra if it's a Rishus HaRabim? So it must be that the bar is a Rishus HaYochid. So therefore, Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid, Sveika Tomei. Aye, but if it's a B'Shus HaYochid, so what does it help if it's a Sveik Sveika? The Mishnah says, even though usually in Kol HaTorah Kula, Svek Sveke is Lakula, but not by Safik Tuma Bishus Hayachid. Safik Tuma Bishus Hayachid, even as Svek Sveke, will also be Lachumer. So that's what Tosus explains as follows. Not that it's a Svek Sveke. So let's see, what is Tosus saying? If it's Vadai Hitila Nefel Abor, if it's a Vadai Nefel, so you have a Cheskas Tuma. You have the roif of Chulda Bardalis Mitzuyim Sham. The Gemara thought that it's a roif garua. It's only a roif 65%, not 85%. So the Gemara thought that Ruba v'chazoka ashkulim, and since the bor is a Rishus HaYochid, it's 10 tfachim deep. It's not a Rishus HaRabim. You don't have three people there. Just the Kohen alone is leaning on top of the bor. You don't have three people. And it's not a Rishus HaRabim for Hilchas Shabbos purposes. The bor is a Rishus HaYochid, it's 10 tfachim deep and so on. So it should be Sofik Tuma Rishus HaYochid. It should be anything other than Rishus HaRabim. Anything other than Rishus HaRabim should be Sofik Tuma Rishus HaYochid, should be Sveka Tomei Vadai. But if it's not a Vadai Hitila Nefel Abor, if it's a Sofik Ruach Sofik Nefel, and even so there's no cheskas tuma, and you have chulda bardlus mitzuyim sham, that's a roiv. So then that's what Tosfos says. That's what we pointed out. A brice in the end of the first parak in Ksubis. When do you say sofik tuma b'shus hayochid sveik atome? If it's a sofik hashokal 50-50. What if it's not 50-50? What if it's a roiv? If it's a roiv that it's tohor. So even if it's a roiv garua, if it's a roiv, then you don't apply the din of Sofik Tumah Bishus HaYochid Sveika Tomei. If it's a roiv garua that's contradicted by a chazoke, if it's vada hitila nefel abor, so ruba v'chazoke, roiv garua, up against a chazoke is shkulim. So shkulim are treated like 50-50 and a Sofik Tumah Bishus HaYochid Sveika Tomei. But if it's not Vada Hitila Nefel Abor, it could be that they never had a Cheskas Tuma. It was a Sofik Shem Ruach Hipila, Sofik Nefel. Was it really, did it have a Tzuras Avlad? We don't know. Maybe it never had a Tzuras Avlad in the first place. So it was a lot of dam, and it was a lot of a piece of flesh there, but we never looked at it to see if it had a Tzuras Avlad. So if it's not, if the Rubid, the Leser Kamon, if the Roiv Garua is of Chuldor Bardlis Mitzurim Shom, if it's not contradicted by the Chazaka, the Meikara, then a Rev Garua is good. And you don't say Sofik Tuma Bishus HaYochid Sveika Tamei when you have a Rev. That's what Tosfos explains. But then Rashi and Tosfos raise an issue. There is a din where what had been Chulda, the way we have the Girsa in the Gemara, both according to the Lishna Achrina in parentheses, the two lines down from the top of Testament base, about 15 lines down. So the two girsas stay the same. The way it says in the parentheses and the way it says before the parentheses, it's both the same. Chuldo bardalis mitzuyim sham doesn't mean that maybe they ate up the whole nafel. Chuldo bardalis, the rubid alesa kamon, just is that they pulled it into a chur. So they pulled it into the chur, and so maybe there's no tumor. So that's where Rashi and Tosfos raise an issue. Why is there no tuma? How big is the chur? How tall is the chur? So the din is, let's say I'm in a room now, and let's say there's a dead body in the room. So there's a tumas ohel in the room. So the since and the dead body is laying on the floor. So since there is a tefach of empty space of avir in between the bottom of the ceiling and the mesas on the floor, there's a lot of empty space in between. So the roof on top is chaytzis, the ceiling of the room is chaytzis b'fnei ha-tumah. So the people who are on the floor above do not become tumei. What happens if a mace is buried 6 feet under and you don't have any tefach of empty space in between the top, the mace is buried flat on the ground and you don't have a tefach of empty space, it just threw offer in on top of the mace. And I'm standing on top directly above the mace. So that's called tumeritzutza. If the mace is buried in the ground, so the din is tumeritzutza b'kas v'yayla ad v'rakia b'kas v'yaredis ad ha-tahom. That's a question. What do you mean tumeritzutza b'kas v'yaredis ad ha-tahom? So let's say, what's on the other side of the globe from New York City? I don't even know. China, Japan, I have no idea. So what's exactly 180 degrees opposite New York? So there may be a cemetery there. So if there's a cemetery, if there's a Jewish person buried there, and there's Tumas Ohel, so Tuma Ritzutza Bekas V'aredes Ad HaTahom, so the people who walk on the other side of the globe will become Tami because of Ohel Ameis. Well, let's say an airplane will go above the clouds. So there's a cemetery, and someone is going above the clouds. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in one place, Tumaritzutza Bekas Yaredis Ad HaTahom means Ad up until the Tahom, but not to the other side of the globe. The Tahom maybe means the center of the globe, but it doesn't go past the center of the globe. So similarly, Tumaritzutza Bekas Ve'Oila Ad LaRakia goes up until the Rakia, but not above the Rakia. Where is above the Rakia? So there's a little Tosfos in Erevin, but Tosfos writes Benegia to a different din, talking about Tchumen. The Tosfos says above the clouds, that's called already into the Rakia. Up until the clouds, from the ground level above on the earth till the bottom of the clouds, that's Adler Rakia. Once you go above the clouds, that's already Bar Rakia. That's not the heavens. Shamayim is something else, but it's Rakia. So above the clouds, probably the Tumah doesn't go above. And below the Tahom, the Tumah doesn't go. But up until then, it does. So that's what Tosfos raises the question over here. Rashi and Tosfos both raise the question, what good is it? What good is it that Chuldo Bardalis, Mitzuyim Sham, and the way we have the Girsa and the Gemara, that the Chuldo Bardalis, there is no Ruben Leisa Kaman at all that they ate up the whole Nephil. No, they don't eat it. The Chuldo Bardalis Girarum, they pulled it into a chur, into the hole. So what good is that? What good is that? But if you have a Tumas Meis, the Gemara originally thought that it was a Vadei Nefil. Then they come to the realization, no, it's a Safik Nefil, Safik Ruach Hipila, Safik Nefil Hipila. But first they thought that it's a Vadei Nefil. So if you have a Vadei Meis, let's say I'm in this room and there's a Meis in the next room and the door is wide open. So that's Tumas Oil Hamshacha. When we first started, we explained there are three different kinds of Ohel. One is, let's say, I'm sitting in the street, no roof above me, and they carry a mace right above my body. So the mace is mahal on the chai. In other cases, there's a mace in the street, and I jump over the mace. The chai is mahal on the mace. So that's two kinds of oil. The mace is mahal on me, I'm mahal on top of the mace. Then there's what we call oil hamshacha. I'm in one end of the room, and the mace is in the other end of the room. And there's a roof, there's a ceiling that goes above the mace, and it goes above me. So that's called oil hamshocha. So we assume that there are three different kinds of ohel. We assume they're all deraisa. Let's say the mace is in the next room, and there's a ceiling there, and there's a ceiling here, and the door is wide open. So that's also oil hamshocha. From one room to the other, there's also oil hamshocha. The din is that a metzora is metame kemace, because when Miriam became metzoras kashaleg, so Moshe Rabbeinu, her brother, was mispala al tihino ka meis. Bein shalom ha-rachmanis on my sister, you shouldn't be like a meis. So the Gemara says, just like a meis is metame ba'oel, so to the mitzore is also metame. But the loshen ha-mishnah is the mitzore is metame bibia. If he comes into a room, the other people in the room become tame. Why does the Gemara switch the loshen? Why don't you say, Mitzvah is metami ba'ohel, like a mace is metami ba'ohel. So the Minchas Chinuch points out, because it's not exactly the same. The Tumas Mitzvah is metami ba'ohel is not as much as a mace. There's no deal of oil hamshocha. Let's say the Mitzvah wants to daven in shul. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah in the Goyim says, let him go to the women's section. Let him run. The Gemara says, when the Mitzvah is, it says, the mitzvah is only metami ba'ochel if he's stationary, if he's standing still. When he's walking, when he's running, it's not metami. So if the mitzvah wants to daven in shul, let him walk into the shul. While he's walking, it's not yet metami. Let him sit down in the women's section, a separate room. And there's a mechitza that separates between the men and the women. Even though the mechitza doesn't reach the ceiling, mechitza just separates. The mitzvah will sit in the women's section, and all the rest of the people will sit in the men's section. So when the mitzvah is running, walking from the outside of the shul into the shul, Mitzora is not allowed to be in Ayorasan, but Kofas Chayim and Moshe Shur Bin Nun. Not allowed to enter Yerushalayim, Chutz Lamachan and Moshevai. Not allowed to enter Ayorasan, but Kofas Chayim. But any other city, he's allowed to enter. We don't assume that it's a contagious disease. It's a din shiloch tamei men amachna. It's not because it's contagious. We don't know exactly what Zarazka responds to. It's some kind of a miraculous disease. It's not the leprosy, which is highly contagious. Some other kind of a thing. Some ruchnizdik disease. So if the mitzvah is outside, he's not metami anybody. He's not touching anybody, and he's not mahil. When he walks into the shul, he's walking. The kozman is walking. It's not tummy. When he sits down in the women's section, and there are no women there, and the weekdays the women don't come to shul. They only come on Shabbos and Yom Tov. When he sits down, since he's sitting in a separate room, even though the door is open from one room to the other, even though the mechitza doesn't reach all the way to the ceiling, it's not a separate room. And there's an oil hamshacha. If it would have been a mace in the women's section, the tumah would have gone into the men's section also. But by a mitzora is metamei bibia, is not metamei ba'ohel. That's what the Mincha Chinuch says. Why did the Mishnah use a lashon mitzora is metamei bibia kiyavel oil? Because it's not exactly the full din like tumas mace is metamei ba'ohel hamshacha. So Nachamo, so Rashi and Tosis raise an issue. The way we have the Girsa and the Gemara, that Chulda Obardalis Mitzuyim Sham, we assume there's a Roiv Garua, 65% Roiv, let's say for argument's sake, that the Chulda Obardalis probably pulled this Nefel from the bar into a Chur on the side. So Rashi and Tosis raise the issue. How tall is the chur? If the chur is less than a tefach tall, and you don't have a tefach of empty space, pesach tefach, in between the nafel, the tiny little piece of flesh from the nafel, and the top of the chur, so then it's tumeritzutza. So then maybe, what does it help that the chur or bardel is? The Gemara, the way we have the gus and the Gemara, we don't assume there isn't a roiv that they ate it up. The rav is that they pulled it into their chur. We don't know if they ate it up. But if they pulled it into their chur, so how can you say that the kohen is tahor? Maybe the kohen is standing, maybe the chur is directly below his feet. So it's a tumor etzutza, because for yoyla, the tumor will go up, he'll become tame. So you have to assume that the place where the kohen is standing is a Rishus HaRabim. We just said before, the simple reading of the Gemara was that if you have Ruba B'chazoka Ashkulim, because it's a Reib Garua, so Shkulim, it would be, Safik would be Tomei. Unless it's a, why would it be Tomei? Because Safik Tomei Rishus HaYachid. So we said that the Bor is a Rishus HaYachid. But if it's a Safik Nefel, Safik Ruach, then it's not Ruba v'chazaka, it's only a Raiv. The chazaka doesn't contradict it. There was no cheskas tumah over here. We're not sure whether there was a nefel in the first place. Maybe it was only ruach epilim. Maybe there was no tzuras havlan. So we explained before that the boyer is a rishus hayochid. So if it's Ruba v'chazaka shkulim, it's a safik tamushus erchus veketomei. And if there's no cheskas vada, if it's a safik ruach epila, safik nefel epila, so then the Rav Garua is not contradicted by a Chazaka. So then whenever there's a Safik Tumah with a Rav Lahakil, then you do follow the Rav. It's not Bitam Sveik Sveik, it's because of Rav, based on the Gemara, the end of the first Perek in Ksubis, that a Safik Tumah Bishu Sayachat Sveik Atami doesn't apply if the Rav is Lahakil. So here it's a Rav. But now Tosis wants to know, why is the Kayan Tohar? Maybe the Chulda or Bardalis pulled the Nefel into a Chur, which is directly below the feet of the Kohen. So they say it must be that even though the Bor is a Rishus HaYochid, but the area surrounding the Bor, where the Kohen is standing, that must be that that's a Rishus HaRabim. So I say, I don't know whether the Chulda or Bardalis, I assume there's a Ruba de Leisa Kamon, the Chulda or Bardalis pulled it into a Chur, into a hole. but I don't know whether the chur is below my feet or some other place over here. So maybe it is below my feet, maybe not. So since it's a suffix, I say suffix tumah b'shul serabim sveka tor. So that's what Tosis says. It's a whole ukimta pshat over here that the bor is a rishus ha-yochid. Probably the bor is a rishus. Usually a bor is ten tefachim teep, and dalal adalut. So it's not rishus serabim. It's not either this rishus serabim or the other rishus serabim. The two kinds of rishus serabim. Either rishus serabim because there are three people near each other, or because it's a rishus serabim for hilchas Shabbos purposes. Here it's neither. So here it's neither rishus harabim. So I treat it like a sofik. Anything that's not a rishus harabim, I say sofik tamar rishus hayochid. It doesn't have to be a rishus hayochid hilchas Shabbos, even if it's not. A boyer is not a rishus harabim, not either rishus harabim. So I say sofik tuma on the boyer, you go le chumra. So if it's rubav chazaka, shkul lemi, have to go to chumra. If there's no chazaka, because still meruach etilo, so it's only a roiv garua. So roiv garua, you make him. There's no din of sofik tumah mishul sarab sveka tome. So there's no din of sofik tumah mishul sayochid sveka tome. If there's a roiv lahakel, but as far as maybe the chur is directly below my feet, so that's what Tosfos says. It must be that since you don't know one way or the other, it must be that the rest of the area, Ragli HaKoyin, are Bishus HaRabim. The Bor is a Bishus HaYochid. But the area around the Bor, above the ground level, that's a Bishus HaRabim. So that's Sofik Tum HaBishus HaRabim, is Sveika Tohar. So here, Tosfos, but the question is, but he's leaning over the Bor, and the Bor is a his feet are in the Bishus HaRabim. But he leaned over the bor, this kohen. So when he leaned over the bor is a rishus hayochid. So if you have a sofik tumah rishus hayochid, it's feka tomei. So we said before, the chuldo bardalis will have pulled it into the side. So Tosfos now raises the question, what does it help if the chuldo bardalis pulled it into the chur? How big is the chur? So if the chur is less than tefach, it doesn't have... How big a bor, how big a chur did the chuldol bardalis dig for themselves? Did they dig such a big chur that has a tefach of empty space and has a tefach of opening from the chur into the bor? So then if the koyan leans over the bor, what does it help that you have a sofik natal, sofik ruach? So therefore, there's no chazaka contradicting the roiv garua. So therefore, you want to go basa roiv, the roiv lahakal chuldo baudelis geraruhu. What is the help geraruhu? But if the chur has a tefach, a pesach tefach, and the opening has a tefach, then the tumah can go out. Let's say there's a mace in this room, and there's a tefach al tefach opening. Now I have the whole door is wide open. In this room to the next room. Let's say the whole door would be closed, but there would be an opening of a tefach al tefach in the door. So Tosfos is assuming, that's a question whether it's accurate, Tosfos is assuming that a tefach al tefach is sufficient to transmit tumah from one room to the other. So if it's possible for the chuldo or bardalis to make a chur that has a tefach al tefach opening from the chur into the bor, so what does it help that you have a rive of giraruhu to the chur, but maybe he's leaning over that part of the bor where the opening goes from the chur back into the bor. Let's say the following. Let's say there's a big apartment building that takes up. Let's say there's a hospital. This you have a lot of time. You have a hospital that takes up the entire city block. And you have a mace in a hospital. The patient's dying every day. There's a patient dies. And so this tumas mace goes the whole room where the mace is. Then if you open the door, so the tumas mace goes, oil hamshach, it goes from one room to the next, goes from one room to the next. Fine. What about an apartment building or a hospital? And then you open a window. and the apartment building or the hospital has a roof that protrudes a tefach out around the whole city block. It has a tefach protrusion around. So the tumas meis goes from inside of the room. The latzai, if the protrusion of the roof goes around and around the whole city block is less than a tefach wide, then it's not maybe a satuma. So the tuma doesn't go outside. But if the window is open and the protrusion is, usually it will be often it will be more than a tefach protruding flat. So the tumas meis goes out the open window, goes around the whole city block under the roof. So a kohen can't even enter the hospital from any side around. I remember there was a Sidus Sinai, Lebanon, something I forgot already, the big Jewish Federation hospital in Los Angeles. For a long time, the morgue, every hospital has to have a morgue because they're a mason. So the morgue, when you take the mason out, there's always a mason in the morgue. When you take the mace out, so it goes and this hospital took up a whole city block. So whenever they take a mace out from the morgue, it's going to be under this roof that protruded more than a tefach around the whole city block. So a kohen can't even walk into the reception desk. He can't go anywhere. And even though the door to the morgue most of the time is closed, but that's a din of softa malotzes. Softa malotzes means you have a mace in a room and the room is closed. Let's say there's a mace in this room, the room is closed. But we plan to open up the door. The Chevek Kaddish are going to come and take out the mace. So since there's a mace in the room and we plan to open the door, so that's a din, either min haTorah, min haRabbanan, that's a question, what kind of a din is it? But there is a din of soiftum alotze. Since we plan to open the door, we treat it as if the door is already open. So if the morgue, whenever there's a mace, there's always a mace in the morgue, whenever there's in a big hospital, when there's a mace in the morgue, you plan to open the door ultimately and take the mace out. So even before you open the door, it's soiftum alotze. So the tumor spreads out around the whole city block. So the kohen can't enter the building at all. So it was a problem there. And finally, the chaplain, the Jewish chaplain of the hospital, I think was a musmach from YU. So he got, at that time, the Rishon LeZion from Eretz Yisrael was visiting in Los Angeles, and he got him to look at it. So he said, yeah, it's a major problem. I remember the year before they had me look at it, I told him it's a problem. So somehow politically, the chaplain had to wait till the Rishon LeZion came, when the chief rabbi of Israel came, and he told him how to solve the problem. It was a very easy solution. So they had to make a separate roof going out from the morgue past that first tefach. So there's no softum alotzes is only under this roof. It wasn't under the bigger roof that was on top. So they finally fixed it. They finally solved the problem. Then there was a period of time, the footnote was, then there was a period of time that there was no Jewish chaplain, I think for half a year. So then there was nobody watching. So then they changed the whole structure inside the hospital. I think for many years, I don't know, it could be, it's still a problem. For many years, there was a problem of Tumas Kohanim. I don't know if they solved it yet. So again.
Revi?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be easier to just make a kippah?
What do you mean a kippah?
Like kippin al gabbei kippin, like in the Har Habayis.
Yeah, that's what they did here. They made a kippah. So when you take the mace out from the morgue, it has its own little roof, like an awning in front of a store, has its own little roof. So the tumas mace is only softum alotzes under that kippah, and it doesn't go the softum alotzes to the roof that protrudes all the way on top of the sixth floor hospital. So the tomb only went over here. It was an easy solution, but somehow he needed the chief rabbi to. So it was written up in the newspapers with a photograph. The chief rabbi solved the world's problems, and they removed the tumas mace. So Kohanim can enter. Yeah.
Rebbe.
Yeah.
Doesn't it sound like almost all hospitals are going to have a problem for Kohanim to ever enter?
If they have a protruding roof, there will be a problem, yeah.
No, but won't there be hamshacha inside the hospital?
If you have a lot of doors, so even though there are six doors separating between where the coin goes to the reception, let's say. If you have a cancer ward, so there's, even if there's nobody died yet, but there are ghosts in there. So there's a machlokes Abai v'Rava in Nazir, whether a kohen is not a kohen of the Nazir. The same thing, are they permitted to come in contact with a gosis? A gosis is kachai, he's not mitame, but he's amid lomos. He's one leg out, he's 1 foot out already. So that's a machlokes Abai v'Rava. So there are two girsas in the Gemara. Whenever you have a machlokes Abai v'Rava, we pass like Rava except for Yalkigam. So here the two girsas in the Gemara, which way did Rabbi say? Rabbi said, l'hakal l'hachmer. So there's a machlekes, the Mechaba and the Ramah. Mechaba has the girsa of the Sfardim, that Rabbi is the one who is Mekal, and the Ramah has the girsa of the Ashkenazi, Rishayim had in the Gemara, that Rabbi is the one who is Machmer. So that's why the Ramah says that a Kohen and a Nazir, we don't have any Nazirim today, a Kohen is not allowed to come in Oyel HaGoyses. So that the Kohen is not allowed to visit the cancer ward. He probably have at least one patient who's going to be a geisus there. But let's say he wants to go on a different floor. So in order that the tumah should go from the ward where the geisusim are, or where you have a mace, to the other floors, you have 6 doors in between. So it's highly unlikely that all the 6 doors are going to be open. At least one of the doors is going to be closed. So tumah lotzis only applies if you plan to take the mace out. I know I'm going to open the door. In another half hour, the Chevy Kaddish are going to come, we're going to open the door, we're going to take the mace out. So that's Sof Tumah Lotzis. But here, they have a system where they're going to take the mace. They're not going to take them that way. They're going to take them this way. I remember once, every year, the yeshiva sends the rabbeim to Eretz Yisrael to visit all the different yeshivas. So years ago, they used to put us up in the Plaza Hotel. So I remember we were there, me and the other rabbeim. I remember once I was there for Shabbos, and one of the American, there were American tourists there, so one of the American tourists happened to be a member of Breuer's Kehila. He died on Shabbos in the hotel. And on Shabbos, you leave the mace there. So it's right across the street from the Great Synagogue. Plaza Hotel's right across the street. So that Shabbos, Punk, the chief rabbi, Rabbi Lau, senior, was still a chief rabbi. That was a long time ago. He happened to be in the Great Synagogue for Shabbos. So the people from the hotel went to ask him, are the Kohanim permitted to go to their bedrooms on Shabbos? Are they allowed to eat in the dining room in the hotel because there's a mace upstairs? So he came across the street and he checked into it and he asked them exactly how are they going to take the mace down. So they weren't going to take him down in the regular elevator. They were going to take him in the freight elevator, which was a different room apparently with doors mopsic in between. So he said, under the circumstances, there's tumah on that floor because the sof tumah lots are going to take the mace out from the bedroom where he died into the hallway. But then they knew how they were going to take him out. So there was sof tumah lots in that direction, but not in the other directions. And they had to keep certain doors closed to make sure the tumah wasn't dispashed on the rest of the hospital. So again, there will be tumah's mace if all the doors are open. But if you have 6 doors. In between the mace and the kohen, even if 2 or 3 or 5 doors are open, but all you need is 1 door is closed, so then the tumah doesn't go through. There are a lot of details, because a lot of times the door doesn't really touch the floor. A lot of times you have a half an inch empty space between the bottom of the door and the floor. So even if the door is closed, if it's a door that's it's only closed temporarily, ultimately, you're going to open all the doors. So then even if you have a little bit open, then the tumah will go through. You have to figure out a lot of details, but basically that's part of the story. So Nachamo, what do you say?
I think Rav Azaria Ariel was mechadesh that if you have double doors, like a little pishbesh, because only a person will be big enough to go through, not the bed with the mace, even if it's open, you can say the sof tumah lotzis will be on the other side, and this door that's half open is okay.
What was that again? I didn't get it.
If there's a little pish-pish in the big door that the body won't be able to go through, but the doctors can pass through, he said that that's considered closed for the sake of a body.
The only time the tumah goes through if the opening is big enough to take the mace, yeah?
No, but even if the opening, meaning his chiddush is if you have double doors, like 2 doors like this, since if one door
What? You're muted. What did he say? I can't hear. Okay.
Rabbi, can I ask another question?
Yeah.
So if a Kohen has a family member that he has to be metame for in the hospital, but before he gets there, he's going to be metame for other mason that are there. Is he allowed to go in?
Not allowed to. Even if he becomes tummy to both bevasachas, the Rambam says you're not allowed to. If I'm already holding the mace, the Kohen, I'm not going. Let's say the Kohen is in the hearse with his mace, and he's going to the cemetery. So since he's with his mace, so then there's no iser to touch another mace at the same time. But at first he's metame to the other mace, or he's when he goes into, let's say he goes into the funeral home, they have two funerals scheduled. One is 12 o'clock, one is 1 o'clock. And his is a 12 o'clock funeral. But when he knows when he goes into the funeral home, there are two mason there. One is his relative, one is the other one. So the Rambam says, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Rambam says he's not allowed to go in. He's only allowed to go in if it's only his mace. If it's another mace, then he has no heter to go in. If he's already still he's in contact with his own mace, and then while he's still touching his mace, then it's heter gomer to touch another mace because there's no tosefes tumah. But when he enters Melech HaTchila, he comes in, the tumors with the both mason, his and another one, that the Rambam is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that's not permissible. The Rambam writes, because tumas mace is only duchuya and not hutra, so therefore, if there's another mace, it's not allowed. That's questionable. Why does it depend on duchuya and hutra? What does that mean? But that's the Loshon HaRambam. That's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos and Brochas and Daf Chof and Mir Aleph. When the Kohen is metame to the Zayin Kroivim, is that a gedder of Duchuya or is that a gedder of Hutra? So the Rambam takes a stand on that machlokes. Rashi writes Hutra and Tosfos says Duchuya. So the Rambam writes Duchuya and he says, what's the difference halacha lemaaseh, whether Duchuya or Hutra? The Rambam says the difference is he permitted to go into the funeral home if he knows melechatchila his mace and another mace are both there? So the Rambam says, since it's Duchuya, so it's not permissible. So getting back again. So Tosfos gave a whole pshat, a fantastic pshat in this Gemara, that we're talking, in order to understand the whole Gemara, you have to say that the bor is a rishus hayochid. Normally a bor is a rishus hayochid. Bor is 10 tvachim deep, and it's dalara dalara tvachim wide. So it is a rishus hayochid. As long, if it would be less than 10 tvachim deep, it would be dinik rishus harabim, because it's not considered a separate ground level. But since it is 10 tefachim deep, so it's not a rishus haram. What's not a rishus haram? So it's dinik rishus hayochid. So what's the din in a rishus hayochid? So safik tuma rishus hayochid sveka tome. And if ruba v'chazoke, if a roiv garua contradicts a chazoke, so that's shkulim. So that'll be a safik tuma. That's a safik tuma. Shkulim. So that's a Safik Tumah Bishul Sayachet. But if it's a Safik Nefil, Safik Ruach, so there is no Cheskas Tumah, you don't know, maybe there's no Mace at all. So then you only have the Rav Garua, not contradicted by a Chazaka. So Rav Garua is good to be Mater in a Safik Tumah Bishul Sayachet. It's only called Safik Tumah Bishul Sayachet if it's 50-50. But if it's Rav Keneged Chazaka, I treat it Shkulim. I treat it like 50-50. But if there's no Cheskas Vadai Tumah, it's a Safik Nefil Hipila, so if Rochi Pilo, so there's no Cheskas Tumah, they're just Vadei Giraruhu, so then the Rav is Mekel. That's what Tosfos interprets. You have to say the Bor is a Rishus HaYochid. That explains the Hogmar. But then, if the Bor is a Rishus HaYochid, so what does it help Vadei Giraruhu? We're not asserting Vadei Ochluhu. It's not a Rav that they ate it. The way it says in our Gemara, it's only a Rav SheGiraruhu. So if Giraruhu, so what's the status of the area around the bor? Is that dino kibshus harabim? Do you have three people together? Or is it a rishus harabim for Shabbos purposes? Or is it in the middle of a field? It's not a rishus, it's privately owned. It's not a rishus harabim. In order to be a rishus harabim, hilcha Shabbos has to be owned by the municipality. So if it's not a rishus harabim for Shabbos, nor do you have three people there. So it's neither this rishus harabim nor the other one. So then I treat it like Safik Tumah Bishul Sayachid Sveika Tomei. So what does it help? The Vada Giraru, maybe the coin is standing directly on top of the location where the Chulda or Bardalis brought in the mace, and it's a Tumah Ritzutza Bakas V'yoylo. unless you'll say that a stam chur, that a chulda obardalis, it's a big animal. If you have a tiny little mouse, so it's possible to have a chur that's less than a tefach. If you have a chulda obardalis, maybe it's a bigger animal. So maybe this stam chur of a chulda obardalis is going to have a tefach, is going to have a pesach tefach. If they'll schlep in the nafel, the basar of the nafel into their chur, so there'll be an empty space of avir tefach above the kazais ben ameis, above the mace. So the tumah won't go up. Just like if there's a mace in this room, the people upstairs are not tome because the base is lying on the floor and they're 10 feet from the floor to the ceiling. There's a lot of empty space, more than a tefach. So then the people upstairs will be protected from tumah. So Tosis says, wait a minute, but if that's the case, that the stam chur of the chulda ol bardalis has a tefach, then probably the opening will also have a tefach. The opening that goes from the bar into the chur will also have a tefach. So if it will also have a tefach, then the tumah will go out into the bar. So what does it help that you say that Koyin leaned over the pihabar, and we say the chuldo bardalis, we go basarov. If it's a suffik ruachi pila, then there's no chazaka contradicting the roiv. So even a rav garua is also good to be mekel on the rishus hayochid. So Tosis asks, how can you be mekel? But there's a suffik tuma here. Maybe the chuldo bardalis took the mace, took the nafel directly below my feet, but there's a pesach tefach, so it's not tumah ritzutza. But when I lean over the bar, maybe that's where the pesach of the chur is, so maybe I'm leaning over. So when I lean over, that's like the hospital where you have the window is open. Someone dies, hospital or an apartment building, and someone dies in one of the rooms, and you open the window, so the tumah goes out if the roof protrudes a tefach around the building. So here, if the kohen leans over, that's the tefach. When he leans over, he's being mahil. So maybe he's being mahil directly above the pesach of the chur, so the tumah is going out. You don't know. So it should be a safik tumah bishus hayachid. And what does it help the roif? It's not going to help the roif. It's not going to help the roif. The roiv is only that they brought the nafel into a chur. Not that they ate it up. That's the way it says in our Gemara. Not that they ate it up. The roiv only is that they brought it the way we have the girs in the Gemara. We don't assume that they ate it up and there's no more kazayas minames. It's only that they brought it into the room. So they brought it into the chur, but maybe the pesach achur is where I'm leaning over. The way he's leaning over, his head leaning over, that's like the tefach of the roof protruding. So the tumah goes out from the chur into the bor, and then his head is the protruding roof, so he'll become tamei. So this is Tosfos. This is what Tosfos asked the question. Unless you'll assume, that's what Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz has over here. Unless you'll assume that the derech is that when the chuldo of bardalis make a chur, the opening is going to have less than a tefach, and the chur itself is going to have a tefach. It's that the regilus. That's what the Rabbeinu Peretz writes on our daf. It must be that that's a stam chuldo or a bardalis when they make a chur, so the chur will have a pesach tefach. So maybe I'm standing directly above. Again, Tosis assumes that to read the Gemara, we have to assume the bor is a rishus hayachid. That's the bor. But what about the surrounding area around the bor? It's also a rishus hayachid, or it's a rishus harabim. So that's the issue that Tosis raises. If it's also rishus hayachid, so maybe the mace is directly below my feet, and I'm becoming tamei. So what does it help that the chuldo bardalis will pull it into the chur, but the tumah will go up. It'll be tumah ritzutza. And if you assume that a stam chur of a chuldo or bardalis is going to have a pesach tefach, it's going to be deep. It's going to have a tefach of avir above the nafel till the roof of the chur. So then what's to prevent the tumma from going back into the bar? So if I lean over, that should be a safik tumma b'shus hayachid. So Rabbeinu Peretz comes up with this wild suggestion. The stam chur of a chul d'or bagdalis has a tefach inside the chur, but it doesn't have a tefach going from the chur into the bor. You find that hard to believe. Tosis is not sure about anything over here. Has Rabbeinu Peretz come up that that's the stam regilus? So the other Tosis is going back and forth on this topic. So Tosis has a suggestion. Maybe the bor is a rishus hayachid because it's 10 tefachim deep. Dalet al dalet, okay, but maybe the surrounding area is a rishus harabim. So the surrounding area, you don't know. So it's a suffix that you don't know whether you're directly above the mace. You don't know whether it is a pesach tefach, not a pesach tefach. So that's why there's room to be makel. Yeah, but when he leaned over, why is there room to be makel there? It leans over. That's already a rishus hayachid. So suffix tome rishus hayachid to be sveka tome. So that's where Tosis comes up with a suggestion. They want to change the gears in the Gemara, the last two lines in the top Tosis and Tess on the base. So Tosis suggests, not the way we have the gears in the Gemara. Both gears are the same. The one before the parentheses, the one in the parentheses, that the Giraru just means they pulled it into the chur, but not necessarily achlu. So Tosis is suggesting a different girsa, geraru liachlu. So that's a sofik arogel. That's the roiv. The roiv is that they ate it up, and you don't have a kazayis men ames anymore. And that's why there's room to be mekel. So that suggestion was made. Even if you hold not only the bor is a rishus hayachid, even if the area surrounding the bor is also a rishus hayachid. But Tosis is not sure about that. That's the last suggestion that they have, because that's against the girsa that we have in the Gemara. Where we have the girsa in the Gemara, it's only giraruhu, but loy achluhu. There's no roiv that achluhu. So if there's no roiv that achluhu, so that's the shaila. Does the chur, stam chur, of a chul, does it have a tefach, does not have a tefach? So leaving out this Rabbeinu Peretz, he says the stam chur of a chul d'or badlus, in the chur it has a tefach of empty space between the roof of the chur and the nafel, piece of the nafel. And the opening, the stam opening is less than the tefach. I find that hard to believe. So the Bali HaTosfos assume that it's going to be the same. Either they both have a tefach, the opening and the inside, or neither has a tefach. So then they're toying with the ideas. So which is it? So they raise the possibility, maybe it has a tefach inside, then the opening is also tefach. No, so if the opening is a tefach, so why doesn't the tumah go out? Now, before you get to that, what did the Rabbeinu Peretz say? Rabbeinu Peretz said he thinks, this is a very difficult assumption, the stam chur, he says the bor is a rishus hayochid, and the area around is a rishus harabim. So safek tum rishus harabim sveka tohor. Aye, but when he leans over the bor, so he comes up with this wild idea, the stam chur has a tefach inside the chur, and the opening is less than a tefach. So the Rabbeinu Peretz himself, he asks, if the opening is less than a tefach, so there's a tosfos in brachos on yutes on the base, there's similar gemara over there in brachos. The Gemara says that kavod habrius is a consideration in halacha sometimes. Usually we say, ein chochma bein tfuna bein etzah neged Hashem, kal makam sheshchil Hashem, whatever someone's doing on avera, ein chokin kavod l'rav. You're not allowed to be concerned about kavod habrius if it's in violation with the din. Let's say a shaila of kavod habrius. Let's say a kohen is sleeping at night and he doesn't have any clothes on at all. And then they wake everybody up, someone died in the room. So the kohen is tamei tumas meis. He has to run out right away. So he has to run out immediately without any clothes on. So what's going to be with kavod habrius? He's going to walk out, he's going to run out naked into the street. Or let's say a person is walking in the street and he finds that he is wearing shatnas. He realizes he's wearing shatnas. So he has to take off his clothes in the middle of the street. He's going to be standing undressed in the middle of the street. So that's what it says in the Gemara. Whenever someone's violating an avera, chil Hashem doesn't mean what we call chil Hashem. An avera berab. Chil Hashem means whenever someone's violating an avera, you have to ignore the consideration of kavod abrius. So the Gemara says sometimes you have kulas, mishum kavod abrius. If they're only violating a din de rabbanon, then we are mekal mishum kavod abrius. So what's an example? So the Gemara says there was a Tana who was a kohen. I think Rav Lezer, but Rav Tzodik, his name. I forgot his name already. There in Brochen, Staff Yotess on the base, he was a Kohen, and he says, Medalgam Hayinu al Gabi Aroinos. They had coffins with Jewish bodies, and then bases Matami Ba'ohel. So they would jump on top of the coffins in order to, in a case of Kavod Abrius, and a consideration of Kavod Abrius. Why? Because since Stam Oren has a Pesach Tefach, Rav Aroinus have a Pesach Tefach, so there's not, so the Tumah doesn't go higher up. But there's a Miut Aroinus that don't have a Tefach, empty space, that the mace goes mamish up until the bottom of the lid on the coffin. So the Chachamim were geyser that even if you jumped on top of a coffin, an Aron that has a Pesach Tefach, you Tomei Midirabonim. You don't go Basar Rav. They said you should be Choshish for the Miut Midirabonim. But since it's a case of Kavod Abrius, Gemara has different cases of Kavod Abrius. So he says, Medalgam Hayinu Agabe Aronis. So we're allowed to violate the Issa de Rabbanan. We rely on the Din Deraisa that you have a Pesach Tefach. So Tesis says, what do you mean you have a Pesach Tefach? You have a coffin that has four walls on all the four sides, a lid and a floor. So that's a Kevesosum. So let's say if you have a Tumor Etzutza, a dead body is buried 6 feet under the ground. And you have no coffin at all. You just threw offer on the body. So that's tumah ritzutza. So tumah ritzutza because v'yoyla ad l'rakia. The tumah goes up until the clouds. If you're in an airplane above the clouds, there's room to be mekel. That's barakia. But below the clouds, that's tumah ritzutza because v'yoyla ad l'rakia. So what happens if a person, Tyson says there, if a person is buried in a coffin 6 feet under, and the coffin has a tefach above the mace to the bottom of the lid, but the coffin is closed on all four sides. So then Tyson says that's worse than tumah ritzutza. If you bury the mace in the ground 6 feet under, and you threw offer on the mace, and the mace is, let's say, lying flat, so the tumah's mace only goes keneged the body. But if he's buried in a coffin, rectangular-shaped coffin, then the tumah spreads the whole distance of the rectangular shape of the coffin. And the whole thing, the tumah is ala adlerakia, the whole rectangular shape, not only kereganames, that's called a kevesosum. When do you have the din? The Rav Aronis have a pasach tefach, and therefore the tumah doesn't go higher up. If you have an opening somewhere or another of a tefach al tefach, so the tumah can go out there. But if there's no opening at all, the oren is just sealed on all four sides with a floor and a roof. It's just sealed. So that's a kevesosim. So a kevesosim is not only metami keneged the shape of the mace. If you know where the body is, it's even metami shaloi keneged the mace, metami keneged the whole rectangular area. So that's what Tosis writes there. Apparently, there's a Sefer Birchas Rosh and Brachas written by Rav Asher, a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. I think he gave Shurim and Volozhiner Yeshiva during the lifetime of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. And he's the one who wrote Birchas Rosh. Just like there's a Sefer Maaser Rav, who has all the Hanhogas of the Vilna Gaon, how he made Kiddush and how he made Abdullah and how he davened and what he did say, what he didn't say, all the different Hanhogas. So there's a Sefer Keser Rosh Hazola Hanhogas of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So this one who was a close Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner wrote the Sefer Keser Rosh. His name was Rav Asher. So he wrote two Svarim Birchas Rosh, one on Nazir and one on Brachas. The Birchas Rosh on Nazir, part of it is printed in the back of the Vilna Shas. He has a lot of Hagoyas on the Tosfos in on Nazir. So they printed the Hagoyas on the Shas. But the first half of the Sefer, Birchas Rosh on Nazir, is Chidush Taira, that they didn't print. So there's a Birchas Rosh on Brachas. He has a lot of important things to say. So the Birchas Rosh writes on this Tosfos on Yutes on the base, that the Vilna Gaon on Mishnah Yisaholos disagrees with Tosfos. He thinks that even if the Arban is closed on all four sides, you don't treat it like a Kebis Sosom, and it's Chaitzitz Bifnei HaTumah. The Tumah doesn't go up. I'm not sure exactly what point the Vilna Gaon disagrees with Tosfos, but he thinks that he disagrees. So here, all the Tosfos in the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz and the Tosfos Shantz and the Tosfos on the other Mesichtas, they all say like our Tosfos. All the Balei HaTosfos, they say like the Tosfos in Brachos, not like the Birchas Rosh from the Vilna Gaon. They all say that the Aron is Chaitzitz Bifnei HaTumah if it has a tefach between the mace and the bottom of the lid, is only if there's an opening on the side of a tefach on tefach so the tumah can go out. So that's the issue that the Tosfos raises here. Most of the Balei HaTosfos are not assuming, like this Rabbeinu Peretz on our daf, that the inside of the chur is a tefach, empty space above the mace, and the opening, the regilis is the opening going back into the bor, going to be less than a tefach. So it's going to be less than a tefach. Then it makes it worse. Then it's called keves osam. Then it's called a keves osam. So the Rabbeinu Peretz asks that question on his pshat. He says the regilis is, I think it's wild, how does he know what the regilis is? The inside of the chur has a pesach tefach, and the opening going back into the bor is less than a tefach, so let it be a keves osam. So he says, no, that din, that a keves osam, is metame, like tumer etzutza, and not only can eged the dead body, can eged the whole rectangular shape of the lid of the aron, that's only if you put the mace there on purpose. Samos hamace be aron. They put it here, they threw it in the bor to get rid of it. They weren't thinking what they're going to do. And then the Chuldo Bardolis pulled it, we think. They probably pulled it into the side thing. So since it wasn't placed there into the chur on purpose, so it doesn't have a din. It doesn't have a din of Kevin Sosum. So it's not Metami Keneged Kulo. It's Chaitzitz Bifnei HaTumah. That's what the Rabbeinu Peretz suggests. That's an interesting Chiddush. That's an interesting Chiddush. But the other Balei HaTosfos don't say like that. So it's interesting. The Chazon Ish on Aholos has a suggestion. He says, but what can I do? Tosfos doesn't say it. One of the Balei HaTosfos does say it. I forgot already which one. Maybe it's the Tosfos Shantz has it over here. One of the Balei HaTosfos does say that, strictly speaking, in order to be Chaitzitz, in order... If I'm in a room and there's a mace here, you don't want the tumah to go up above. So if there's a tefach of empty air, avir, above the mace till the bottom of the ceiling, that chaitz is bifnei tumah. And then the tumah goes from one room to the other. So most of the Balei HaTosfos assume, just like there's a shiur tefach here, there's a shiur tefach there. So the Chazon Ish says, based on his reading of the Mishnah, it should come out that you need more than a tefach to have the tumah go from one room to the other. If you have a tefach al tefach opening from the chur going back into the bor, it's not called a keves osum, but the tumah doesn't go out because you need a melo egrof. You need more than a tefach. You need more. So he says, but he didn't find any rishonim to say that. One of the Balei HaTosfos does say that maybe it's enough a tefach al tefach to be choytzitz, that the tumah doesn't go above. It's not called tumah etzutz anymore because there's a aver tefach above the nefel. But in order for the tumah to go back into the bor, you need more than a tefach. And you're talking, this stam chur doesn't have a tefach. These are different suggestions that the Rishonim give. Wow. These are all important dinim. This comes up halacha lemaisa when you have a person dies in a house. In Europe, there was a period of time in Frankfurt. The Pnei Yeshua was a Galatiana. And he had a Rabbanis in Frankfurt. And then they fired him because he was a mekel. Now they would fire a rabbi because he's too much of a machmer. Then they fired the rabbi because he was a mekel. What was he mekel? So the minig was that when someone, all the houses on one side of the street were attached, and all the houses on the other side of the street were attached. And whenever anyone would die in one of the houses, so they assumed the houses were not only attached, there would be in a corner on the bottom, there would be more than a tefach al tefach of empty space. They would pour dirty water in one house. It would go from first house to the second house to the third house would go through. There would be a path on the floor, and the dirty water would go from one house to the other. And there would be a, what do you call it?
Drain.
A drain? A drain? What do you call the thing on the drain that has crisscross? What do you call that? A filter. There would be a filter to make sure that chunks of junk don't go from one house to the other to the other. So if you add together all the holes in the filter, it added up to a tefach ha-tefach. But no one hole was a tefach ha-tefach. So the minhag was that the Kohanim, whenever someone would die in one of the houses on one side of the street, they assumed the tumah goes from one house to the other to the other to the other, because you add up all the holes together, you have more than a tefach ha-tefach. So they would go to sleep in a house on the other side of the street. Someone would die the other side, all the Kohanim who lived there would come to sleep on this side of the street. So the Pnei Yeshua had Gipaskin that since it's not a tefach ha-tefach in one spot, you have to add up all the holes in the filter to add up to a tefach ha-tefach. So strictly speaking, the Kohanim don't have to go to the other side of the street. They can sleep where they are at night. So the Lomdim in Frankfurt was so upset why the Pnei Yeshua was Mekel, so they fired him. I think they fired him before Rosh Hashanah, Slichas time. They chased him out of town. And at that time, they put him on a wagon and it was pouring and his wife got pneumonia and she died. His first wife died because of that. And then he remarried later on. It was a terrible issue. That was, they fired the rabbi because it was too much of a Mekel. Yeah, so a lot of these halachas of Softo Malotzes and Basech Tefach and how big the opening has to be, these are very valid, relevant halachas. Okay, Lineta, we'll stop here.
Rabbi, can I ask a question?
Sure.